Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another live edition of Sports Blogger Radio. I am your host, John Larry, and with me is always Scott Balloony. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Boston Bruins with our good friend Rear Admiral from Barstools.com. He's going to call in about 8:15 or so.
Are you just going to give me Italian like inflection names from now on? Just because of the board. All right, whatever. All right, man.
No more Irish names for you. You're getting all Italian now.
So you're just accepting my heritage as an Italian American, right?
I have no other choice.
Okay, because it's just the Italian inflection now. It's not even like the Irish nicknames. It's not like Scott McNamara or anything. It's just whatever.
Nope. Calm it down, Mario.
Oh, yo, I'm calm, man. I'm calmer than you are, man.
All right. What else? We're going to be talking about the Boston Celtics and their new new head coach and their new draft picks and our very popular ass hat of the week. And we're even going to throw in ass hat of the month for last month. And if we have time, we'll be talking about the Boston Red Sox tearing it up. So with that being said, Scott, how was your 4th of July? How was your week off? How'd you spend it, man?
Don't remember most of it. It was a good time, I think. And I just want to say, it's we haven't talked about the Red Sox much, but it's not our fault because Boston sports have been, like, insane for the past month.
Yeah, they've been pretty crazy. It's all gathered around the Bruins, Celtics, and the Patriots. It's too bad we didn't have a show a year ago, or else we would have been talking about Red Sox. So.
You know, it's kind of encouraging that there has been no bad news out of the Red Sox camp for a while now. Like, we're first place in the AL, like, we're playing well, everything's going well. Big Poppy, best DH to ever play the game as of Wednesday, you know. It's nice to see that there's no crazy killings or trades or coaching changes happening right now with the Red Sox.
Well, you know, the trade deadline's coming up, so we'll have to wait to see. So we will end up talking about them at some point.
At some point, yes. Just not for a
future. So there you go, everybody. You just got your Red Sox update from us.
There you go.
So, man, what a week. I should say, what a holiday. The Boston Bruins, man.
Making moves.
Making a lot of moves. A couple guys left on their own.
A couple guys got traded. Cough, partying too much. Sagan.
Yeah. Sagan, drinking his contract away.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit with Rear Admiral because he's going to –
He's the expert.
Yeah, he is the expert. Someone tells me he's going to have a little bit more insight on why this happened.
Let's want to just go ahead and just start talking about the players and just, you know, the movements and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually want to kind of start off with a sad but positive note. Andrew Ferentz, he got a 4-year contract from the Edmonton Oilers. What can you say about Andrew Ferentz, man? I mean, the guy left and he's still, you know, it has Bruins pride, man.
He's still contributing to the Boston community. I don't know if any of you guys saw. There's this physically disabled guy. I forget his name. I think it's Matt. He's a kid. He's a year younger than I am, I believe. He's at Stonehill College, and he's like a diehard Bruins fanatic. And like, there's pictures today on him of him giving away the Ferentz giving away the Rangers jacket to him just because like he came and dropped the pucks, and he's been so active. This kid, Matt, in the Boston community. With like Boston Bruins, stuff like that. And like, you just see how much love Andrew Ferentz has for Boston fans and the city of Boston. And just like, even though he's an Edmonton Oiler, he's still like trying to give back as much as he can with the little time he has in Beantown.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at, you know, the past couple of years, Andrew Ferentz has done things for, you know, the team camaraderie. I can't talk. Team unity.
Struggling today.
Yeah, I know. For team unity, basically. And, you know, after every game, they would, you know, kind of like a game ball type of situation, you know, hey, you know, here's the Ranger jacket.
For those who don't know, the Ranger jacket was like, I think that tradition kind of started, I think that Mark Recchi started it with something
It was Andrew Ferentz in 2011 with the ugly starter jacket.
That's the one.
And, you know, in 2011, that was the starter jacket. In 2012, It was the gold chain, the hideous gold chain. Obviously, we had the lockout, and you know, this year was the Ranger jacket. So, but it's just it's kind of good to see that they went ahead. You know, that he was that type of guy. You know, he was a great locker room guy.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And he deserves as much respect as we could possibly shell out. And hey, Andrew, if you're listening, which you're probably not, but if you are, good luck in Edmonton. We adored you. Hopefully you have a successful career.
Yeah, you know, you can't say enough about him being in the community. And just like you said before, he's been in Boston for, what, 6.5 years? He got traded in 2006. And he was an important player on and off the ice. I think that his big contributions are mostly in the locker room, though. And
yeah,
you know, he got the assistant captain position in his later years at Boston. He absolutely deserved it, and he's a kind of like a spiritual, emotional leader. And so, I mean, I'm glad that he's making some big money in Edmonton, and he deserves all the best. I hope he does well in Edmonton, like you said. And although it sucks to see him go, with the emergence of, you know, Troy Krug and Dougie Hamilton, you know, it sucks to see someone who's that tied into the Boston system go, but at the same time, this is, you know, turning over a page in our defense, letting some new guys come up through the system and
important
for a future.
I mean, we talked about it probably, you know, on the first couple episodes that Andrew Ferentz, it was probably about time that they made a move. I mean, it's sad, but it was about time. Kind of a shocking movement. Anton Khudobin. I didn't expect him to leave, but he left and he signed a 1-year deal with the Carolina Hurricanes. He was 27 years old. He went 9-4 and had a 2.32 goals against average. Are you as shocked as I am that he left? I expected him to probably sign.
I mean, I thought that just because being behind Tuukka Rask would give him such an opportunity. Well, that's the thing. Being behind Tuukka Rask, A, teaches you a lot about goaltending, but B, you're going to be behind Tuukka Rask for the rest of your career. So
yeah.
Seeing as
well,
Cam...
not the rest of his career.
Well, for a long time, you know, I believe he's 27 years old, which is older than Tuukka Rask. And
if you look at it, he signed, signed a 1-year deal for $800,000, and he's going to be backing up Cam Ward.
Yeah, which is, you know, Cam Ward is on his way out a little bit. He's a Vezina-winning, you know, goaltender. What better guy to learn from to be become an eventual? We saw that he's got talent, definitely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm kind of shocked.
He's got a sparkling personality, and at the same time, I don't think the Bruins are too upset with it because we have Svedberg in line, and we also have Malcolm Subban, who's one of the bigger goaltending prospects happening, that's been to the draft in a while. And, you know, I'm not too crushed about this. I love Dobby. I think his interviews were hilarious with Naoko Funayama, who I also miss, who's leaving Nesson. But at the same time, not that shocked. I'm, you know, Svedberg, he's going to come in. He had a 37-8-2 record with the Providence Bruins last year, which is like unreal. And
right.
2.17 goals against and a .925 save percentage. Like, I think that he's going to be able to step up real big. I think this kid, Nicholas Svedberg, has really got something to prove in the NHL, and I am looking forward to seeing him play.
I mean, I am too, like I said. I mean, it's a little bit shocking only because I kind of expected him to sign. But the next guy is very
– Yeah, I don't get this one at all.
I don't get this one. He was a monster while I was here. Nathan Horton. He went ahead and he signed a 7-year, $37.1 million contract with the Columbus Blue Jackets, citing that he had the desire to play in a quieter hockey town.
He also said that he went there because he liked the zoo. This is just weird. There must have been something between Bruins upper management and Nathan Horton, because this is just weird. I mean, I don't know.
I'm wondering if it had a lot to do with the trade talks and this and that. And
you know what? He signed a 7-year, $37 million contract. He had 109 points in 169 games played for the Bruins. And he was, he was the 2010-2011 hero of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I didn't see this one coming at all. I think that most of us were completely blindsided by this. I expected him to be re-signed for something.
Well, that's it. I
Because Sorry, but
no, go ahead.
Peter Chiarelli said that this is potentially the best line in hockey, and he said that a bunch of times during the season. So it was just weird that he left like that.
I don't know. I mean, they were pretty nostalgic during the year. They came alive in the postseason, so that's why, you know, it almost seems like everybody's opinion kind of changed during the postseason. And maybe he just didn't particularly care for that. You know, maybe figured, you know, oh, you only like me when I'm producing when it matters. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I just, I don't know. It's a weird kind of, I'm not exactly sure what the circumstances around this are. And, you know, just like hearing the reasons, like he wants a quieter hockey town and he liked the zoo there. Like,
I mean, well, if you really think about it, what better place to go than Columbus? I mean, not an original six. I never met a Columbus fan. I'm pretty sure that,
well, you know, Columbus is starting to, you know, Bobrovsky, he won the,
what the heck was that?
Have you ever seen TSN? Oh, the no. TSN guys, the anchors for TSN, they always have this long running joke that it sounds like a cop's name. So whenever they say like, Bobrovsky, you're off the force, but whatever.
Okay. All right.
I can't help myself. Bobrovsky, you know, he won the Vezina trophy. I mean, yes, he won the Vezina trophy this year as the best goaltender in the NHL.
I mean,
and then they have Marian Gaborik playing with there now, and they have a bunch of people who came over from the original Rick Nash trade who are, you know, Stepan and
I'm not really talking about their team. I'm really talking more about
the fan base.
The fan base.
It's quiet. It's a quiet hockey town. If he's looking for a quiet hockey town, it's the best place you can go,
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. So, we've heard from many people that – oh, many athletes leaving this town. That, you know, Boston is a very tough place, tough place to play.
High expectations.
Very high expectations. I mean, and he came here and he won a championship here. So obviously, us fans, we expect more, you know. And we'll always want more. That's the way we are. We can't help that. A couple guys that came in that I'm kind of interested on finding your opinion on. And the biggest one is, and this is really, really funny, Jerome Iginla signs a one-year deal worth, deal's worth $1.8 million base, and he has the potential to earn $4.2 million in incentives.
If you can't beat him, join him, I guess. I don't know, man. Like,
how funny.
After just getting embarrassed and kind of, you know, and Lucci was even saying that him joining the Penguins after kind of committing to the Bruins was a kind of motivation for them to go for the sweep.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, I guess you chose wrong, bub. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, it's kind of, I can't, like, when I first heard about this move, I was like, why would you do that? Like, because this guy was, we hated him for a while.
Well,
we were so
excited because we thought we were getting him, and then we didn't.
And then he changed his mind. Yeah.
And then he changed his mind. Now we have him.
But when you look at it, like, the deal, the $1.8 million base deal, it is still a $6 million cap hit, which kind of sucks. But at the same time, the fact that there's so many incentives, but like the playing bonus and the performance bonus, like, he's basically, this is kind of a cap friendly deal where he'll get the bulk of his compensation in the table performance bonuses, which is kind of what Mark Recchi did. And
I'm not against the deal.
No, it's just weird.
It's just weird. It is very weird, especially after you expressed your love for Sidney Crosby and how you want to play with him. And now you're on the Boston Bruins, who you just, you know, snuffed because you wanted to play with Sidney Crosby. I just find it a little strange.
It is a little strange, but you know what? I mean, I'm glad to have him. He's one of the three active NHL players with more than 500 career goals. He ranks third. He has 530 goals, trailing Jaromir Jagr, who the Bruins will not be re-signing, and Timo Salandi, who I hope continues to play.
Let me quickly ask you this, because you just brought it up, and I know Rares are going to be calling in probably about a minute, so we'll go ahead and talk about this. Jaromir Jagr, are you kind of disappointed that they're not going to resign him, or he's not going to come back, or are you
the wandering travel legend of hockey? I think he's just going to bounce around now. I mean, it's with the team that we currently have, the top six we currently have, consisting of, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, Eriksson, and then Lucic, Krejci, and Iginla. Like, there's no spot for him on the team, I don't think. I'm of course, because he's a legendary human being, and his, you know, mullet will forever live in Hockey Hall of Fame.
The golden mullet.
I will miss him, and I think that he contributed to this team in a very positive way. And it sucks that he's gone, but at the same time, I'm not heartbroken. I think that right now the team is looking pretty good in terms of who we are, our roster and our offensive line. So,
yeah.
You know, Yager gone. Yeah, whatever. But I think that he's – I mean, I think he's fielding offers right now from the Montreal Canadiens and the Carolina Hurricanes and some other teams. So we'll see where he ends up. Ultimately, wish him all the best. And I think he did a great job playing the role that he was supposed to – like, he came in to play with the Bruins. But
his time
at Boston is now kind of – it's done.
You feel that was short-lived?
Yeah, I mean, he came in – we were looking for someone to fill that kind of veteran void, and now we got Iginla, who was who we originally wanted. So, although it is an awkward situation, like we got what we wanted.
I don't know what else to say, but yeah, it is very, very awkward.
It's awkward. Like, you didn't want to come here, but then we kicked your ass and now you do. So, I mean, like, it's kind of awkward. I don't know, but it's okay. I could deal with it. Yager, so long, buddy. I'm going to miss the mullet, but,
it is kind of sad. All right. Like I said, I don't know when Rare is going to call in, so I'll go ahead and go into the next topic. The Boston Bruins signed Tuukka Rask to an 8-year, $56 million contract. Now, I know we've talked before the show. We both are in full agreement. 8 years, way too long.
Two Ks, way too many years.
I don't so much have a problem with the money. It's the years. I mean, and because Tuukka, he's earned that money.
A $7 million goaltender. Absolutely. I think that he's just as good as any goaltender in the NHL, if not.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that he showed in the playoffs that he has the potential to be one of the best goalies in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, like, goalie longevity, not great. And 8 years, like, man, oh, man, that is a long time to have a goaltender collecting $7 million. Like, I'd be fine with a five-year deal.
Well, that's what I was talking about. You know, with 5 years, it just seems more friendly to the Bruins and to Tuukka. I mean, you know, 8 years, you know, I can
understand. I mean, I see why they did it. They really want to lock him up because I think that he's still a young guy. He's in his – I think he's either 24 or 25 at this point.
He's still a young guy, and
he's got the game.
Yeah, he can play at an elite level. There's no doubt about that. He's proven it this year, you know.
But it always – like, whenever I think of long-term goalie contracts, I think of, like, Rick DiPietro and, like, how much that has sucked for the Islanders. Like, and, you know, it's tough because – goalie is, you know, there's so many ways you can get hurt, and it's such an important, you know, position. And it's not that I'm worried about injuries or any of that stuff. It just, there are so many variables that there's so many things that could happen in 8 years that, you know, could change a team. And,
right.
You know, I just think that 8 years is a long time. I would have been more comfortable with maybe a 4 or 5 year deal where we have, you know, an option to re-sign him later in the future. Maybe for less money, granted, I mean, or maybe more money, depending on his play. But at the same time, you know, it's tough to predict that far in the future. I think that that's a kind of a risky move. And, you know, just looking on Twitter, the reactions are pretty mixed. A lot of people are, like, really supportive of it, and a lot of people are not supportive of it. I was one of the proponents or one of the people who are not as supportive of it. I don't know. I mean, you said you're not a big fan of the 8 years, but
I 8 years, it just seems like a very long time. And I know he's young, just like you stated and stuff. It just seems that they maybe added a couple more years than they probably should have. You know what I mean? Like 5 or 6, I would definitely be happy with that, or happier with that, I should say.
The question is, where does the money come? Where is the money for you know, Patrice Bergeron's contract extension?
Well, that was going to be my next question to you, because with Bergeron being coming a unrestricted free agent next year, you know, they're going to want to lock him up, and I mean, they'd be dumb if they didn't.
Oh, he's a franchise player for sure.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's proven. There's no doubt that he's proven his toughness and, you know, and his will to win and stuff like that. But with Tuukka Rask getting, you know, $7 million and you're still paying for Mark Savard being not playing.
Yeah, right now the Boston Bruins cap payroll is at $70.5 million, which is about $1.4 million over the cap hit. So you're allowed to be over the cap hit until camp ends, until like training camp ends, and yeah. Then you have to go under it.
Yeah.
Mark Savard is still making $4 million a year through the 2017-2018 season. It is very probable that he'll be placed on a long-term IR because we need that money in order to be under cap hit. But at the same time, that's not enough money to get, you know, to lock up Bergeron for a deal that's, you know, enough money for him, you know?
Right, exactly. Looks like we got Rear calling in right now, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that phone call. Hello, Rear, are you there?
I am here, gentlemen. Sorry for the delay.
No worries, problem. Buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing, all right?
We're doing okay, bud. We're just talking about the Boston Bruins situation right now, and what I kind of wanted to bring up to you is what I find to be a very shocking trade, you know, between the Dallas Stars and the Boston Bruins. What's your take on that?
I was pretty shocked myself. Excuse me. I thought when they didn't make a deadline deal day, particularly for one of the first, you know, top three picks, then I thought a mission accomplished. They kind of fire a shot across his bow and get his attention and, you know, kind of knock the crap off here. We got to start getting serious. And
right.
I guess they weren't bluffing. They went and they got a pretty good deal done. Initially, my gut says, excuse me, we're giving up on this kid too soon, and they may well be, but I think, you know, we've got to remind he's 21, but conversely, he's also been here for three seasons, and he hasn't shown a hell of a lot of improvement in his off-ice social activities. I mean, you know, Joe Haggerty wrote that he was showing up at the Toronto's ACC building, you know, with the Leafs play, I mean, in the same clothes the night before. I mean, what the hell? It's the playoffs. Where are your priorities, kid? I mean, you're supposed
to
be
playing. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
Exactly.
I was 21, and nobody liked to chase beer and broads more than I did, but it's like, you know, I wasn't getting paid millions of dollars to be a professional hockey player, though. So, you know, the Bruins weren't a priority for him at the time of year when they needed them the most. And I think with the, you know, a $5.75 million salary staring down the barrel of it this year, I think they said, well, you know, we can spend our money better and more wisely and in the process kind of put some things down for the future. And, you know, first you get all the initial shock, you read up on it, and you realize, you know, it's actually a pretty good deal, you know.
Yeah, I think that it's actually a really good deal. I mean, I was reading up on Frazier, Smith, and Morrow, and these prospects are all pretty promising. And, you know, Louis Erickson is, you know, he's also a good player who, you know, a couple of seasons ago, I believe it was two seasons ago, was like a 70-point player. I mean,
very underrated.
I think he is really underrated.
Exactly.
Dallas is falling off the map. I mean, they did win their cup in 99, and they kind of were popular, but they've been kind of one of those teams that's been struggling at the gate, and they did make a spirited run for the playoffs last year. They do got some good young players, but we just pilfered their top player. You know, Erickson, he's a potential all-star. He's a finished product. He's 27. He's at the peak of his career. He's in his peak right now. And, you know, the Bruins are getting a known commodity back, whereas I think with Sagan, they think he's somewhat of a wild card. And as far as Peverly, I mean, I think a lot of Bruins fans would have been content if they traded him wherever for even a fourth or fifth round. And that's not to discredit him. It's just a salary cap era. You need to make room. And, you know, he was going to be making way too much money commensurate with what kind of production the Bruins were getting from him. So, you know, throwing him in there, you know, you can even say whatever, you know, they would have got whatever for him. So you can almost, you know, you're getting Sagan for almost four guys because I think they were going to just dump Peverly wherever they could, you know.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Now, Rhea, I wanted to ask you, do you think, you know, with Sagan coming out, everybody always told him how great he was. And
no pun intended, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my God, those tweets. He's got to get his Twitter under control. Actually, did you see he deleted his Twitter?
Yeah, he finally did. And I mean, you know what? I know the hack sounds like a dumb thing, but I wouldn't completely rule out that, you know, I mean, someone might be just effing with him. Not, you know, just someone, you know, he might have a password someone knows or something. You know, I don't think he'd. I mean, it may have been his friend the first time, but, you know, the kid might have, you know, there's a lot of crazy people out there and access, you know, to people's information. So, you know, I'm not defending the kid. I think, you know, he's still got a lot of growing up to do in some regards.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
you know, it's quite possible that somebody, you know, legitimately hacked into that. I just
the fact that password would even be out there in the first place just, like, leads me to believe, oh, he was drunk at a party, gave away his Twitter password or something like that. Just, like,
right.
lack of professionalism in general, really. I know you were asking a question, John, but real quick, do a lot of Bruins insiders, like, know about the security guard and the hotel room that he's locked up in? Because I personally didn't – I wasn't fully aware of all that stuff. Like, I didn't know that was a huge problem for the Bruins.
I've since either heard or read that the team was staying at a hotel and there were guards there anyway. You know, when you have a, you know, basically famous people stay in a hotel, they always have extra security. And I think they may have been there anyways. Now, I don't know if there was one right outside his door. I don't know if that was kind of slanted the story to make it sound like that. But point being, the other thing about him showing up in Toronto and, you know, last night's duds and stuff. I don't know who. I mean, I certainly, you know, I just remind, I'm not technically a beat writer. I actually do have a normal full time job, and I kind of do this on the side. So I don't, you know, I don't travel. I'm not with the team on a day to day basis. I mean, I do get there when I can. So, it's not something I would be privy to. Now, I'd like to know who among the press corps did know, and you know, it's like, well, you know, that seems like a pretty big story you would want to report, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, definitely.
You know, young star player, you know, showing up, probably half of the rappers still at 9:30 in the morning or whatever time. That doesn't get reported by, and then I'm not just picking on local media, but there's, you know, Toronto media, there's, and it's, you know, it's, you know, sometimes people have other, you know, they don't, they know where their bread is buttered, and they, you know, they don't want to upset the apple cart, you know. But,
yeah,
you know, it's typical. I mean, they say it happens in Boston, but it's everywhere. You know, a guy gets traded, and then, you know, then now everyone feels free to print the stories about him, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was about to ask, do you think, like I said, because he's been coddled his whole career, do you think Tyler Seguin was a – do you think he was just too good for himself? You know what I mean? Do you think he was – you know, one of those guys, like, I don't have to practice as hard as the rest of them because I'm tired of saying, you know, do you think he was that way?
John, I think that definitely, like, winning the Stanley Cup in his first year, that might have affected it too, I think. But what do you think, Rear Admiral?
I think he's a kid who's, you know, since he was probably 8, 10, 12 years old, probably younger than 12, you know, he was always the best player in every team. He was always the best player in every league because he was so, you know, so head and shoulders above everybody else that, you know, the kid probably never heard the word no too often, you know, for his whole teenage years. And, you know, listening to the enabling denial kind of laced quotes from his parents, and I don't mean that in an AA sense or anything, just like, you know, I think he's this kid I mean, I don't know how old you guys are, so I don't get insulted, but I think he's kind of a product of this, like, latest generation of kids who are just, they don't grow up hearing no from their parents, especially when they're otherworldly talented in the sport. And it's like this kid has had everything handed to him and never heard no, and now he's facing some adversity, and he's not dealing with it too well. And, you know, I mean, to have his mother in the paper one day and his father the next day, and, you know, it's like, oh, kind of the kind of ask, well, what do you expect him to do? And it's like, I expect him to be a professional. The kid makes, you know, he can go out and have fun and chase girls and still do all that, but, you know, it was affecting his play, and, you know,
the fact that he's such a big component of the team too. He's a top six forward. It's not like he's Paul Bissonnette on the fourth line. He's got to you know, be committed to being a professional.
Right, and he probably disappointed the Bruins just a little bit too much, and, you know, they had an opportunity to say, you know, but sell high, because I mean his stock. I mean, despite, you know, Shirelli's quotes around the draft, I don't think that was, you know, I don't think that affected his trade price, but they were able to sell high and, you know, get a solid player. So, I mean, a great player in Erickson, you know, three high-end prospects. And additionally, Morrow, the defenseman, you know, it's almost like, you know, that the Bruins did lose a first rounder in the Jagr trade, but it's almost like they bringing in a first rounder, you know, that they lost, and the kid who's already got, you know, 2 years of development under his belt too. So
I like Smith too. I mean, people underestimate how good I think he is. He had 122 points in 121 games for Miami of Ohio, which is NCAA Division I. Like, he's also a very interesting prospect. I'm going to keep an eye on him. I think he's going to be playing in Providence. I want to see how he develops. But one last question before we move on to the Celtics, Rear Admiral, if you wouldn't mind.
Iggy.
You took my question.
The signing of Iggy, is that awkward as hell? Like, how do you feel about that?
To me, no. I mean, you know, he did kind of, you know, leave the Bruins in the lurch. At the deadline, he made them his second choice, and you know, the Bruins needed, you know, they weren't in dire need of a right winger back then, but they certainly needed some, you know, veteran help for the playoffs when we ended up settling for Jagr. As far as, what's his name? What's his name? Hang on one sec.
Soderberg?
Okay.
Sorry, I lost. Can you repeat that question? I lost you on my... half a second. What was that question?
We're just asking about whether or not you feel like awkward about Iginla, or you think that it's a good buy right now for Iginla going forward. Is he gonna mesh well with the team? What do you think?
Yeah, he's. I mean, the Bruins wanted him and felt they needed him in March, and since then they lost three right wingers, so he was a huge need. And as far as, you know, the trade deadline diss and all that stuff, you know, the Bruins basically made him their second choice because the Bruins went balls out to try to get Daniel Albertson. He went to Detroit. So then they
said, you know what? I never thought about it like that. You're right. I never thought about it like that. That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
There's symmetry there. And, you know, it's a business, and guy wants to win. And, you know, he was good enough a few months ago. And, you know, I don't think he makes him a less classy guy because he wanted to go with his best chance to win. He's up there. He hasn't won a cup yet. But, I mean, that's not even going to be an issue in the locker room. These guys are—they know the deal. You know, you do what you got to do, what's best for you at the time, and you know that stuff doesn't carry over with the players. I think he's actually going to be a great signing because, you know, he's up there at 36 years old, but that's still 5 years younger than Jagr and Recchi when, you know, they were helping the Bruins out. He looked good in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Obviously the whole Penguins team looked terrible against the Bruins, but I don't know if they were using him in a right spot. I think, you know, they were using him on the third line a lot. I think playing with Krejci is where people have him penciled in. It could be a 30 goal scorer, and I mean the guy's got, you know, put every 500 close to 600 goals in his career. So and then they're not by accident.
Yeah, right.
I think it's a good signing.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Rare. We're going to go ahead and move on to the Celtics now just because we're running out of time. But thanks so much for coming on and talking to Bruins with us, bud.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good night.
All right,
you
too. Man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Dude, Jagr.
Jagr, man.
Jagr.
Love it. Love it.
Dude, he is – oh, my God. That guy knows his stuff so good.
All right.
And
so,
for those of you who don't know, that was, if you guys ever read Barstool Boston, that's a Rear Admiral. Go check out Barstool Sports. I know there's not a lot of sports on there nowadays, but whenever he posts something, it's worth a read. So
absolutely. All right. So now we're going to go ahead and move on to the Celtics and the new hiring that the Celtics have had, which I personally think is a great hiring. It's Brad Stevens. For those that don't know, he's 36 years old and he's from Butler University. You know, he's never won anything fewer than 22 games, and he's led the Bulldogs to two national championship games against Duke and Connecticut.
And 22 is, by the way, a good, like, that's,
yes,
like, there's,
I'm
like,
sorry.
There's,
yeah,
like 35, 40 games in a season. So,
right,
like,
22 games in college hoops.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, he's a player's coach. He's very, very smart. He knows what to adapt to. You know, a lot of people feel that he's going to be kind of like, you know, Rondo and him are going to go ahead and clash. I know we talked about it beforehand, so I'm not going to speak for you. But I think Rondo and Brad Stevens are going to be like almost a match made in heaven.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, this guy, like you said, he's wicked smart. He's a 3-time All-American nominee. He earned 4 varsity letters at DePaul University. Smart guy. He's the youngest coach to reach the Final Four since Bobby Knight did in 1973. He, after doing some research, he looks like, you know, he's not, like, keen on dictating everything that happens on the floor, which means for Rondo that he has a lot of flexibility to be creative and run his offense, which
absolutely
is really good because Rondo, you know, he's got a little bit of a personality issue. He's kind of a tough cookie.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, he was playing for Doc Rivers, and Doc Rivers, you know, he wanted his way, which
yes.
I'm not saying anything bad about Doc Rivers, because Doc Rivers is a great coach. He's going to do awesome in L.A. But with that, you know, with Rondo playing underneath Doc Rivers, they clashed, you know, and Rondo, just like you said, Rondo has his own way of doing things, and he's going to want to make the plays that he wants to make. You know, Brad Stevens is going to let him do that. You know, if he makes a mistake, he's going to tell Rondo how to fix that mistake. But he's not, he doesn't seem the type to get in his way. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, Rondo, like I said before, he's got like authority issues. And he, when we know veterans tried to coach him, like, you know, Ray Allen, they
right.
You know, were clashing. And there was obviously almost a fist fight between Doc Rivers and Rajon Rondo. I'm not saying that, you know, Stevens is a pushover. But he's a guy.
No, he's not a pushover.
He's a guy who will implement his system. He said there's going to be a lot of new lingo, a lot of new different, you know, a lot of different looks in the offense. At the same time, though, he's going to be able to give, you know, he's gonna allow the rebuilding process to start with Rondo, and he's gonna allow it to be Rondo. Well, Rondo's gonna be center stage this year, I think, with Stevens.
Well, that's Rondo is, you know, he's basically the only superstar they have left, if you think about it.
He is the only superstar they have left.
Well,
yes. I mean, Paul Pierce is gone. Kevin Garnett's gone. Jason Terry used to be a superstar, is gone. He is the one superstar they have, and they need to rebuild around him. And people, you know, we've been hearing trade rumors for the past, you know, 2 years about Rondo, about where
right.
we can give him. But I think that this coaching, this pairing,
yeah, I think before they even think about trading him, and if they do decide to trade him, I don't feel that they'll do it until next year.
No, they're not.
But they're gonna give it a shot. You know what I mean? They're going to give it a shot. Rondo is going to be here until at least the trade deadline, if they decide to trade him at all. Simply for that fact, you know, they want to see how well they're going to work together. And
you know what? I think that there's been so much talk about the rebuilding, and people are talking about how the Celtics should throw this year so they get the best draft pick possible. I think they're going to turn a few heads. And
I think so, too.
I'm optimistic, which is rare, because I'm not really optimistic that much. Excuse me.
Yeah. Especially on a rebuilding situation. I mean, I'm the same way. We thought the same thing about the Red Sox last year. Like, oh, they're just rebuilding, and you know, we see how that turned out. You know, when you don't have a whole lot of expectations behind you, you're able to perform a little bit better. You know.
Before the season was started, we were debating whether or not they'll make 500. Now they're in first place in the AL with the best record in baseball.
Right. Don't they have like a 3.5 game lead?
I think they have a 4-game lead with the win that just happened just recently, tonight.
Well, all right, we're getting off topic.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, you know, I think that we have a lot of good, you know, pieces that will contribute to the, you know, I guess I say rebuilding, but at the same time, I think we're going to have a good team this season full of young talent, starting with our coach, who is a younger coach. And you have to remember, we're getting first-round picks in 2014, 2016, and 2018 from Brooklyn.
Right.
And, you know, with players that are developing like, you know, Kelly Olynyk and, you know, Rajon Rondo kind of, you know, centering the floor with, you know, people who can stretch it out with Jared Sollinger, the big KO. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, Jeff Green. It's interesting to see what our needs are going to be come season, because I think that we could put together a good team right now. I think that this KO kid, he is beasting up the summer league right now. I think that him and Rondo are going to do a very good job together. They're going to be syncing very well together.
Oh yeah, I fully agree. I mean, the kid's averaging, you know, 17.8 points a game. That's just, I mean, for a rookie to be doing that.
That was actually last season. In the summer league right now, he's averaging 19.5 points per game with 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals on 57% shooting.
Right, you're right. I'm sorry.
The dude is just, you know, he's extremely impressive. He's the front runner for the Orlando Summer League MVP, and the hype is just, it's absurd.
It's just growing and growing by the second.
And, you know, I think that, obviously he's not a premier player. You know, he's just in the summer league. He's playing against people who are not, you know, he's not playing against LeBron James. At the same time, he's dominating the people he's playing against, which is really encouraging for a team that's quote unquote rebuilding. And, you know, KO and Rondo, they're both guys who can stretch the floor. I wouldn't be shocked to see him playing a significant amount this season. And, you know, if we can get good ball movement and we can, you know, if we can get Jeff Green going and we have, you know, KO and Rondo just stretching out the floor, I think that's really encouraging. And you know what? I think we're going to have a decent season. And people just decided to throw at the Celtics this year. And I think that was just after watching the summer league and, you know, seeing the signing of Stevens, I think that's just out of the question.
I definitely think it's, people, the second they went ahead and traded Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry. I won't even really throw Jason Terry into that, but Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, once they went ahead and traded those guys, everybody was like, oh, that's it. Yeah, the Celtics, nope. You know, they're not going to do much this year, this and that. And, I mean, granted, the season hasn't really started, but their pieces that they have potential to be, you know, really good. You know, whether it be soon or in the future, you know, they're definitely building up some good young talent here.
Yeah, just, you know, Olynyk has so many strengths to his game. I was watching some of the summer league games. I took some notes. He's got great interior presence with awesome moves. You know, he can go either way off the post, and he's good from the floor. You know, in
right.
His most recent outing, he finished with 19 points and 10 rebounds and had six of those rebounds were on the offensive, you know, side of the court.
Right.
And, you know, he was 8 for 9 on 2-point field goal attempts. And from the, you know, he's a great interior threat and he can shoot on the perimeter too. He was draining threes the other day. Like it was no big deal. And he's been working on his shot. And, wow, I just started so bad. And, you know, he's been working on his 3-point shooting ability to try to impress, you know, his coach, obviously. And I think that's going to be really important because if he's an unpredictable threat, that's even better for people like Rondo and Jeff Green, who are going to be having either layup opportunities or shot opportunities somewhere else in the court.
Absolutely.
Also,
this
dude's 7 feet tall. You know, he's a big, you know, jump shooting big man. And I think that he's going to, you know, I think that him and Jared Solinger, it should be interesting who gets the nod. Maybe if they find a way to incorporate them both in a system, but
they can move. Well, the thing is, maybe they can go ahead and move, Sully to power forward. Or something. Yeah.
I mean, it will be interesting to see. And I think that this guy has so much potential at this point. And I think that there's, you know, I was upset that we lost Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, the people I grew up watching. At the same time, though, this is going to be a very productive, you know, next couple seasons for the Celtics in terms of picks and in terms of young talent.
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, seeing Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce come back to the Garden, was it 8 times a year? You know what I mean? For the next couple of years, that's gonna be a tough thing to see. But you know, just like anything. It was time for us to move on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean.
And as sad as it is, it needed to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, a couple other guys I noticed from Summer League games. Colton Iverson, who we drafted in the second round. You know how Kevin Garnett was maybe the most tough, intense guy in the league at the time?
Yeah.
This guy is, like, talking about breaking people's bones and, like, how he's never had an injury and he hates using ice because he's just that much of a badass. And really, he has been a nasty dude, and he's a 7-foot player. He's 7 feet tall. He's self-identified his play as kind of nasty and has claimed that, quote, "I know guys don't like going against me, so I take pride in that." So whatever nastiness we lost with Kevin Garnett, I think I can see the logic behind this pick, picking some of it back up.
Well, maybe they're looking for the Kevin Garnett clone.
His shooting is still got to come a long way, but the dude is a gnarly player. He's quote, broken a few bones of his opponents. And it's like, I'm looking forward to seeing this guy, Rasheed Wallace, Kevin Garnett, kind of like in your face, like,
yeah,
going to get nasty players. Like, this is what this kid sounds like he's trying to bring to the Celtics,
which
I think will be good.
That's the thing. I mean, back, I know you won't remember because you weren't even born yet, but back in the 80s, when they had Ainge, when they had McHale and Robert Parrish, and Bird, they had kind of a nastiness to them. You know what I mean? And that's good. That brings intensity. That's maybe what they've been lacking a little bit, you know? I mean, he's a younger kid. Good for him. You know, if he can do it and pull it off, all the power to him.
Yeah, and there's the point guard, Phil Pressey, who I know that we already have depth at the point guard position with Avery Bradley, but this guy, he has been really impressive. He's been turning a lot of hits. He went undrafted out of Missouri. Little known fact, his father, Paul, was actually an assistant coach in the early years of Doc Rivers, and he spent a lot of time around the Celtics, and he made a push to get, to go to the Celtics. And he's been reminding me a little bit of Avery Bradley, but he's a good shooter. He has been heading the Celtics full court press on the defensive side. And he's been, against the Rockets, he was like one of the big reasons why there were 20 Houston turnovers that game.
Wow.
And he's been distributing the ball very well. And with Pressey on the floor, the Celtics have been plus 14 overall average. So that's very encouraging to see that they're playing so well with this guy. And, he's got great ball management. He's got good vision. He's been making – I saw him yesterday make a really good pass to KO out underneath the basket. And, I think that this guy is actually a promising young player who might come up through the system. It's good that he's got ties to, Doc Rivers and the Boston system already.
I
think it works, yeah.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move on to our next segment. And
finally.
Yes, it's our very, very popular segment. First of all, asshat of the month, all right? Asshat of the month is a average of who we went ahead and said, the asshat of the week is. And that would be, the asshat of the month of June would be Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah!
Congratulations, Aaron Hernandez. You, sir, won asshat of the month of June. I'm very not proud of you for making this list. So there's not much more to be said about that. He is a numbskull.
Numbskull. I mean, killing people, pissing away millions of dollars, he's not convicted yet, but the evidence is...
It's just,
Mountain.
Right.
Mountain.
It just keeps getting... stranger and stranger by every day.
I mean, every time I'm watching ESPN, every hour, like, well, we found something else that ties that link Aaron Hernandez with these dead people. Like,
secret apartments, secret compartments, showcases, whatever.
People telling the cops that Aaron Hernandez said that he killed some people, and
it just goes on.
Not looking good for you, dude. Not looking good at all.
Yes, that is why, sir, you win asset of the month of June. Now, this week's asshat of the week, and the award goes to Alfonso Denner. You had single-handedly screwed up your New England Patriots career again. this gentleman, he signed a 4-year $2.157 million contract, including a $60,000 signing bonus. You went ahead and pissed it all away by
something dumb you don't need to do. You DUI.
You got caught with a DUI, and the NFL has put in a policy that if you are out drinking and having stupid fun like that, you can call and get a ride back to wherever you are. So there was absolutely no need for that.
First of all, the guy beat up a cop last year.
Right. And he ended up getting, what is it, 60-day?
30-day jail. He's going to be serving a 30-day jail sentence in March of 2014.
Right. So
and he has to do like 100 hours of community service with cops, and he's got to pay a fine. And
so he was able to finagle his way out of that for a very low sentence. So he could play in the 2013 season. And then he goes ahead and does a asshat move like this.
And he's, you know, he's on 2 years probation. And, you know, after the hearing, the original hearing, he was talking about how he's going to be changing and how, you know, this is, you know, he's going to be committed to the team. And I think that one of the things that, I mean, I watched a lot of ESPN today because I was bored. I don't like usually watching ESPN because it's terrible. But everyone is talking about the scouting systems that the NFL has and why. I mean, first of all, with Aaron Hernandez being asked out of the month and doing what he's doing. And then there were 2 DUIs in Denver a couple of days ago for Denver Broncos players. And now this guy.
Right.
What's the deal with all these guys, you know,
well,
just doing stupid stuff?
There is a funny meme going around with the
meme. You mean a meme?
Whatever.
Oh god, that was an age thing right there. You didn't even know how to pronounce meme. Jeez.
Whatever. Anyways,
45 year old John. Oh my goodness.
45. I'm not 45. Anyways, it has the NFL logo on it, and it says, you know, big X through it, and says they've gone 0 days without an arrest.
Oh
now,
yeah.
Before that, it was 6 days. So I found that pretty amusing.
You know, it's just, you know, with the Patriots who've been going through the jersey swaps and, you know, this craziness with the Aaron Hernandez, you know, going around and popping caps in people's asses and stuff. You know, it's like, this is the last thing they really need. This is going to be a PR nightmare for the Patriots.
Absolutely.
Like, how do they deal with this? Like, do you now, with Alfonso Dennard, do you wait for the investigation to happen and then release him, or do you release him immediately? Or
well, this is why I stated that he went ahead and pissed away his contract, because again, like Aaron Hernandez, a lot of football talent, very, you know, very promising. However, he acted stupid. I feel that the Patriots are going to go ahead and cut this guy just because they Robert Kraft, and I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick, they want to kind of remove themselves for any type of bad publicity. So, you know, I if he doesn't get cut within the next couple of days, then I pretty much see him getting cut by, you know, the beginning of training camp.
So just on the topic of players and whether or not you should cut him or not.
Yep.
If this was his first offense, would he be cut?
I don't believe it would have been. If it was his first offense, you would definitely, he would, you know, obviously he would have been suspended. And if he wasn't suspended by the league, he would have definitely been suspended by Bill Belichick.
So you think this is more of him not, you know, not making good on his promise to clean up his, you know?
Yeah, it seems to me more of a, you know, a situation where, I promise I won't do that again, and he does it again, and now they're kind of like their hands are tied, and I feel that because of what had just recently happened with Aaron Hernandez, that they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to go ahead and keep this guy on just because they don't want to deal with it. And who can really blame him, to be honest with you, with all that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, this is a question I was thinking about earlier, is whether or not this guy is instantly dropped, or whether or not you wait for an investigation and then you proceed to drop him, or what the implication of a first offense is, you know. And seeing as, you know, Robert Kraft got duped, I guess.
Yeah, by his words. Yeah,
by Aaron Hernandez. And do you think that this is going to set a precedent in the NFL for much stricter scouting and, you know, no BS, you know, policies now in terms of like tolerating, you know, stuff like this?
I do actually. I mean, I'm not the biggest Roger Goodell fan because I don't think he's very consistent on his rulings and stuff. But if you can go ahead and be duped by, you know, Aaron Hernandez, and, you know, he can get the lucrative contract that he received, then, you know what, it's time for you to start looking at the scouting reports and how it's functioned. If everything that they said is true with Aaron Hernandez, you know, how he was in a whole lot more trouble than what was actually, you know, stated to begin with, then he probably should not have been drafted at all. So I definitely feel that they need to go ahead and tighten that up. I mean, because would you invest that type of money into a person?
Oh, no. If this guy's going to go ahead and piss away his career with personal choices, I'm not going to, you know, it's not, even if he's the best player to ever grace, you know, the earth, I'm not going to, it's not worth it for me to invest so much money and time into him and then him just,
exactly.
You know, stopping.
Exactly.
You know, even if, you know, it's, you know, we're talking about the, you know, even if it's, you know, Tom Brady from 2004 coming back or whatever, and, you know, it's not worth it.
No, it's not. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, if you look at the, I know I'm using the Aaron Hernandez thing again, but if you look at what the New England Patriots just did this weekend, and, you know, give us your Aaron Hernandez jersey, and we'll go ahead and give you a player with, you know,
sucks great, if you got a Denard jersey. Sorry, just
no. Well, I believe that they would only allow you three of the players: Vince Wilfork, Tom Brady, or someone else.
I wouldn't take Wilfork.
Well, I'm just saying, like, but
just okay. Yeah, sorry.
My point is the fact that they are basically trying to erase any type of memory that they have of this guy. You know, that says that, you know, they don't want to be associated with that, and that's great. They, you know, they got, you know, these guys are, you know, heroes to kids. You know, these guys are, you know, what these kids look up to, and, you know, they don't want to be associated with that, and I don't blame them for that. So that kind of goes back to my whole point about the scouting. It really needs to be done a whole lot better. So people like an Aaron Hernandez don't end up in, you know, in the limelight. And then, you know, these kids, you know, they go out and they spend all this merchandise and they buy the shirts and jerseys and this and that. And, you know, they go ahead and, you know, next thing you know, they're looking up to a murderer, you know. It's kind of something that definitely needs to be looked at better.
So is this going to be team to team or a whole NFL? I think that, you know.
It should be across the board. Every single, you know, the entire NFL.
And it's like, you know, I don't understand why these people are doing stupid things when they're getting, you know, they're given everything. It doesn't make sense.
That's
but
it. You know,
whatever. Ass head of the day.
Ass head of the week.
Ass head of the week.
Alfonso Dennard, you, sir, you won ass head of the week. Congratulations.
Oh, no!
Love it.
Why you doing this?
Why? Ooh, me? All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of Sports Blogger Radio. I am your host, John Leary, and with me, as always, Scott. Ooh, me, Blooney.
Yeah, okay.
We hope that you will tune in again next week to find out who the ass head of the week is that week and other lovely stories from us.
Hopefully more Red Sox.
Yeah, I think we'll make it a point to talk more Red Sox. Hopefully nothing happens in the whole, you know, Bruins, Patriots, Celtics town, you know, area, so we can talk about the Red Sox. But until then, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Ben Junkies Radio, 12 o'clock p.m. Tune in. Give those guys a listen. And, you know, support us. That's great. If I also, quick shout out to Andrew, our new writer. Doing good stuff, buddy. Thank you. And that's about it. Find us on Twitter too, guys. All right, at Sports Blaga. Thank you so much for tuning in.